name is Tony Arkalevich, and I will be chairing this proceeding. I will take a moment to explain how the Zoning Board of Appeals functions. The board is comprised of 5 members and 2 alternates. We have been appointed to serve the citizens of the city of Kingston. We perform this service to the best of our abilities on a voluntary, unpaid basis. The other board members are, please introduce yourselves.
Mary Neubauer.
John Bonavita Goldman.
Okay, I don't think your mic is on. Turn it. Yep.
John Bonavita Goldman.
Owen Harvey, alternate.
Okay, for purposes of voting this evening, we have Joe absent, Brian absent, Ari absent. Owen, you'll be voting, and we'll have a voting members of 4, okay? So you'll be voting unless someone else, a board member, shows up eventually. There will be a period for public comment this evening after each variance request has been presented. This period is an opportunity for individuals to make a statement of opinion, not to engage in debate. Each speaker must state their name and address for the record. Speakers must be brief and to the point to allow everyone a chance to speak. Speakers must address the board as a whole, not individual members, and not other speakers or audience members. Professional demeanor is expected. First order of business is to approve the minutes for 11/14/2019. I just want to thank Eric for his work on doing these minutes. It's important that we get a good, accurate synopsis of our meetings on file, so thank you, Eric. So do I have a motion to accept? Approve. John?
Yes.
Second? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I seconded it. John was first.
Okay. Use our microphones. 4-0. Approved. Okay. Moving to the agenda. Old business, we have 36 O'Neill Street, Zone M1, Ward 4, owner, applicant Sam Simon, Boyce Brothers Dairy, and I believe we have architect or engineer also present. Would all the parties please come up to the chairs.
Good evening, folks.
Hey, good evening. You have to set some things up?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll read this while you're setting that up. Okay. The applicant is seeking 3 separate area variances from the City of Kingston zoning Ordinance Chapter 405, Attachment 2, Lot and Bulk Requirements, to expand the current facilities of Boyce Brothers Dairy, which house the day-to-day operations of dairy food processing, bottling, packing, and shipping. Number one, the applicant is seeking an area variance for side lot setbacks from the allowable 50 feet side lot setback requirement to 7 feet 8 inches side lot setback to expand the current facilities. Number two, the applicant is seeking an area variance for lot coverage to expand lot coverage from the allowable 40% to 43% lot coverage. Number three, the applicant is seeking an area variance for an existing yogurt facility that was constructed without the proper variance for side lot setback requirements, which would be from a 50-foot side lot setback requirement to a 2-foot side lot setback. So we had talked about that at the previous meeting, that we were going to try to look in the files to find any approvals for that 2-foot variance. I gather by virtue of this being on the agenda this evening, nothing was found in the files. We therefore will have it as a approval to this evening or not approval. And we have a very nice set of drawings that I saw, but I would like, during your early introduction, I would like to verify what your numbers are in terms of the square footage of the building, the new building, divided by the square footage of the lot, which gives us the 43%. So I'd like some hard numbers on that. And I know one of these drawings, I think it's the third one in, clearly shows where the setbacks are that are being requested to the 7 feet, 8 inches, and the 2 feet. I think it's three or so in. I think that's probably the most important one that we're going to need this evening to see exactly where on the property that those setbacks are. And then also the hard numbers for the ratio. And then we can move along, so to speak.
Thanks for having us here tonight. So on drawing number one, I have in red what the current setbacks are in the M1 industrial zone, light industrial zone.
If there were to be a building on the site where it would have to be for 50 feet?
Yes. This is the only part of the site that would work based on the current zoning.
Which would mean a severe reduction in your square footage.
It'd be a pretty small little thing in the middle. So it would make this light industrial site not worth working on.
Did we ever, Mr. Knox or Mr. Kitchen, did we ever determine if any of these buildings were pre-63 zoning? Did anything in the files come up? Okay, just out of curiosity. Okay, because I did, as you know, I like to go back. Kingston Library has the business directories all the way back from, I think, the 40s, whatever. I like to go back and always look at what's being discussed in terms of was it in existence as a business pre-63, and the one building, I think it's yellow building, right? The big building. That actually was, I remember it growing up in Kingston. I had an aunt over in that area. That was actually a business. I don't know whether the original building was knocked down and the yellow building was put up or it was added. Took the original business and added to it, but originally I remember it was called Zwick and Schwartz Wholesale Produce, and it was 36 O'Neill Street, which I believe is what you're using the address on, but it was Zwick and Schwartz had that building, and they had produce and supplied it to the various markets in Kingston. And the other place on your lot, I think it's part of the ice cream store, it was 62 O'Neill Street, which was actually called Sickler Delivery. They did moving, and they actually had the Kingston Freeman delivered from there. They had carriers, but those were original buildings and businesses on those. There were a couple of, there was a repair, auto repair in one of them, but that yellow building was actually a produce building. Now, I don't know whether it was added on, it was demolished, and then that building was put up. But did we ever determine when that building was put up? I think 74 was in my notes, 1974.
That's when they moved.
That's when Boyce Brothers moved there. So they moved in. That's when the building. Okay. So they added it to that Zwick and Schwartz. I thought so. Memory's starting to fade a little bit, though. Note from those days. Yeah, may have been a different owner, but it was produce. So, all right, just a little history, local history lesson. So go ahead.
All right, so anyway, so I'm here tonight with Dr. Sam Simon. He's the current owner of Boyce Dairies. And They would like to modernize the storage and packing of the milk products. And other engineers and architects have gone through and decided how big the building had to be to fit the equipment that they would like to use. So when we were last here, we were requesting the lot cover variance in the M1 light industrial zone. The lot coverage is 40% if it's a single-story building. This one has got some upper stories, which allows for up to 50%, but we're just basically calling it single-story just for simplicity here. If you want to do the math on that,
I have a pen. Yes.
All right, I'll give you some numbers here. All right, so we've got 0.8 of an acre. It's 0.8 acre. That's from the surveyors. An acre is 43,560 square feet. It comes out to what they actually have there is 34,848 square feet.
So far, so good. That's what I had.
Yeah, and the building addition is going to be, the whole building when they're done is 15,007 square feet.
Well, you get an A+ for your math because it matches mine, but I wanted it on the record.
Right, well.
So 15,007 divided by 34,848 is 43%.
Right.
And 40% is allowed. So that's where we're getting the request for the variance.
Exactly, right. Okay. So when we were last here, I was requesting the side variance of 7'8", and it was pointed out that there was a part of the building that was at 2 feet from the lot line.
Right.
And so, you know, Sam went back and looked through his records, asked his people. I've only been on this job for 6 months, so I have no records from when this was done. They couldn't find any approvals or building permits or anything. I mean, it's at least 20 years old, so it was recommended that to keep the records clear and straight and whatnot, we ought to come in and apply for that. So that's what we're doing. So one of the variances will be for the yogurt room, and that's
2 feet
from the property line. The other side of the property line, you got railroad tracks there now, and I guess the steel of the tracks are still there. It may be a walking trail at some point, but for now, we don't really have a neighbor. We have railroad tracks. And the new part of the building would be 7'8" from the side lot line.
Okay.
And
your other section is 88 feet 4 inches, so that...
Yeah, we meet everything else.
Where the trucks are.
Right.
Everything is okay there.
Yeah. So this is where we're at. I mean, the business has been there a long time. Boyce Dairies would like to stay in Kingston.
How many employees do you have working there?
22.
22? Is that your drivers?
And in the plant, administrative, yeah. For the whole project, it's actually 37. Hudson Valley Fresh and Boyce operate out of that whole plant. So it's 22 plus 15.
What's the second part for the 15?
Hudson Valley Fresh Dairy.
Oh.
That's on the... owner and partner with the farmers.
So you own both.
We bought that, so we own both. And
all
we're keeping
well,
the
we're
Boyce
just
Dairy.
Talking about Boyce Dairy at this point, so
right.
We use the 22.
It's 20.
Not that that enters into anything. It's just
no, but there are 22 employees, yes, full-time.
Now the $64,000 question.
Yep.
For conversation's sake, what if you do not get approval for these setbacks? What's plan B? Just for conversation's sake.
Well, plan B would be to not grow the business here and find somewhere else.
Well, thank you for your direct answer.
Yeah, that's the reality. If we
you
can't...
You need to expand,
yeah.
In your opinion, to run a business.
To run it successfully.
We, as owners,
have been in business 15 years. We purchased this with the purpose of we have 9 family farms. It's our milk that goes through that plant, no one else's. We process, bottle that milk. We sell Boyce milk as well as Hudson Valley Fresh coming out of that plant.
How many, how many people do you supply dairy products to? I know you do a lot of the schools because That's my background. And I know
we move 2 million pounds of milk through there a month.
A lot of schools.
A lot of schools. Yeah. Metropolitan New York, Whole Foods. We have a lot of good clients. West Point, you know, stuff like that.
It's not just ice cream cones.
No. We move a lot of fluid milk. And it's high-end milk from really quality farms, and that's what we built it on, starting with two farms. Now we're nine.
And your business started there?
Yes.
It wasn't your business, but Boyce's
business. We subcontracted to them initially, and now.
But it was 1974 when the move went.
They moved there, and then we came on board in 2005.
Okay. Thank you for your answers. Do we have any questions from the board on these three variances? We'll be doing each one individually, not as a group.
We can't tear down the building. I mean, that makes no sense where the variances are. We're not going to tear down the yogurt room or anything, because something we use every day.
You've just outgrown it.
It's just growing. It's healthy growth, and it's saving nine family farms and 10,000 acres of open space in Dutchess and Columbia County. That's what its mission was when we started in 2005, and that has continued.
Okay. Owen?
I just had one quick question, and I apologize if I sound naive.
No.
The train track that runs alongside, that's an inactive track. There's no train that goes by there.
No,
totally inactive.
That's a good question.
Okay.
It's not naive.
Okay. No. Just wanted to make sure nothing's going to hit the building.
No, that was planned.
Okay. Thank you.
That's going to become a walkway.
Yeah,
that's
I was wondering if it was going to be part of the Green Line or something like
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Sorry. You answered my other questions last time you came, so thank you.
No problem. Any other questions from the board? Okay, the way we do this is we conduct our business, and then at the end of the meeting, we discuss the variances, approve them, deny them, table them. And so you can stay, hear the decision at the end of the meeting, or you can go home and receive a letter from Mr. Kitchen and Mr. Knox, whatever you like to do. We only have one other thing on the agenda, so that helps your decision.
Do you open it up to the public for comment or no?
I'm about ready to do that. You're reading my mind.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll go take a seat then.
Okay.
Do you want to leave the drawings up here or show people or no?
Maybe nobody came.
Who knows?
Why don't you put them down there so people want to see them, because they're going to come up to that podium to speak. Okay, is there anyone in the audience who would like to come up and comment on these three variances of Boyce Brothers Dairy? Just please state your name, address, and...
Thanks. Okay.
Much better. What'd you
also
do?
By the way, I hope that we're still recording the meetings. I was really glad to see that some of the recordings were online.
Eric, I don't see my little tape recorder up here. It's taping back there.
I think that the planning board meetings are all easily recorded, so we could do it for zoning board too.
I don't know what all that means.
Quite simply.
Yeah, it's back there. Yeah. It's part of the system.
It's a great resource for the public to be able to keep track of these projects. Anyway, The applicants made really good points about the value of the business for the community, and you made a, you pointed out the old buildings and what they were that were there, and we really did have a much more vibrant mixed-use city before a lot of this zoning. I want to point out that we're redoing our zoning code for a more form-based code, and this might serve as a really good example of why we need that, that this sort of thing, and also that, why we need it. Floor area ratio does never give us a predictable result. It can be a tower in a park, or it can be a big flat thing. It's not a good way. So many of these things that come up to you are really good examples of unnecessary and harmful hoop that people are forced to go through that would be really great when we get rid of it. Thank you.
Well, let me just say this. Thank you for your comments. I had the privilege of sitting on the committee for the rezoning and the form-based code zoning, so I look forward to hearing from you in the future when it goes before the Common Council and the public. So, because
thank
that's going to take a lot of work to get that approved and changed.
Really important, valuable work, though. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Moving along. Okay, the second item on the agenda is applicant Michael Moriello, attorney for 127 Greenkill Avenue, LLC, 127 Greenkill Avenue, Zone R2, Ward 4. The applicant is seeking a use variance from Chapter 405-12. However, this will be more of a discussion and presentation tonight, as I understand it. Because there are some criteria for use variance, specifically the hardship, financial hardship, because the request for this property is not a use by right. So the owner is to give a presentation, as I understand it, and we'll move to the actual variance as time goes on. This was on last month's agenda also. And we had someone was supposed to appear, and somehow the signals got mixed up. So we have Mr. Moriello here, and I believe Mr. Zell. And now we have some additional people. So come on up to the right up. Yep, right, there's a microphone. We'll get a second one. Thank you. Here's a microphone here, Eric. Okay.
Sure.
I don't see Mr. Moriello. So.
Nope.
Mr. Moriello is not with us this evening, so you
this sounds a little ominous there. I mean, he's not with us.
Well, no, he's still with us, but he's not present tonight.
He's not present.
Right. Okay. You have to put up with me.
All right. That's all right, Chris, Mr. Zell. So could you give your names and addresses, please?
My name is Chris Zell. I'm the surveyor from Bernier and Larios.
Uh-huh.
Peter Buffett. With the Novo Foundation. We're located at 45 Crown.
Okay. Welcome. We're looking forward to hearing what your plans are for 127 Greenkill Avenue. We got as far as a community center, I believe, last time.
As you know, we are applying for a use variance in the R2 district, which does not presently allow a community center, even though it is adjacent to the Boys and Girls Club, which is used as a community center, and is also across the street from another district which does allow a community center. However, Peter is here to explain perhaps more about the uses that he envisions for that building. And
I want to just get on the record so there's no question. I looked on the zoning map, actually across the street as I see it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but Steve, right across the street, you know, the property is not within the C2 zoning, as the cover letter states from Mr. Muriel. It's not within the C2 zoning. Across the street is O2 and M1, but there is a C2 in proximity to this property.
Right.
But Mr. Moriello's cover letter says that it's within the C2 zoning district. The C2 zoning district abuts it as you go up Greenkill Avenue.
Right. No, this
across from it is the old, you're aware of it, is the old Metropolitan building, mm-hmm. and that's zoned O2, and then there's some M1. So just for the record, it's not within the C2. Okay? Go ahead.
So I think Peter can explain perhaps what his vision is for the community center and some of the uses that he has planned for it.
Yeah, thank you. And sorry I missed the last one. I appreciate that this is a discussion. And we are at the Novo Foundation really in the business of building community. I mean, that's one of our, if you can call that a business, it's an aspiration for what we do, and we have learned in other locales, other cities, that community houses can be a wonderful way to create neighborhood cohesion and provide some services potentially that otherwise the community may not see. And of course, with the Boys and Girls Club right next door, it's a wonderful way for us to try this, frankly. You know, we are, again, in the business of trying things. We're sort of the social venture capital, but our return isn't money. Our return is what we can do for the neighborhood. And so with an initial conversation with Dan Whalen at the Boys and Girls Club and continuing as we decide what this should be, they will be most definitely partners in the kind of emerging ideas that will come that should be in the house. We won't be changing anything on the exterior other than making it back up to probably its original state. Same thing with the interior. We don't have any plans actually of doing major changes to the interior. The whole idea is that it feels like a house and that people feel welcome there and have an opportunity to take part in what goes on there. So, again, I appreciate that this is a discussion because it's more about questions you might have for me than anything else.
Now, will this be operating in conjunction with the Boys and Girls Club? Will it serve adolescents and youth or adults or both?
I would say both, and I would say that that's not up to us. Our real goal always is to create conditions based on what the community is looking for and what they need. And so in consultation with not only Dan and the kids there, frankly, but the people in the neighborhood, we'll learn more about what matters to them, what they'd like to see there. The
so
range
you
yeah.
plan on having, I learned a new word on the zoning committee there, charrette.
Right. That
so,
would, that's
never,
the word.
Never knew that before, but
right.
You plan on having charrette, you plan
yeah.
on having community meetings, neighborhood
right.
meetings to solicit input as
yeah.
to what will go in there. Is,
yeah.
is this going to be, would you envision, so I'm asking these questions because they tie into zoning.
Sure.
Would you envision people living there, spending the night overnight there, or this is a daytime yourself? What would you envision?
What I would imagine, yes, is that it's daytime evening activity, not a place where someone would live. I'm not ruling that out because, again, if someone felt that having someone there 24 hours could be helpful in some way to the neighborhood,
See what It's good we're having this discussion. I'm going to open it up to the rest of the board, but we kind of need, before we can grant a use variance, mm-hmm. although you want to have the charrettes and you want to have the interaction and the dialogue with the community and the residents, we need to, before we can grant a use variance, we need to have a sense of what's going in there because right. there are different requirements for different types of settings or activities or delineating what a building is.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, we had the speaker before refer to the form-based zoning. That's a little more open-ended and a little more less definitive than this. This
right.
is what guides
I would
us.
Say.
This is what guides us right here.
Right.
So
right.
we need... I can appreciate you want to have input, but you also need a use variance. So maybe the cart and the horse right. are kind of in inverse positions. We need to get the horse before the cart and find out what people want there, what you want there, then come back and tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And we know definitively, then we know what we're voting on. I want to read to you, and this is not our law, this is New York State law, the use variance requirements and criteria. And the number one on there is the applicant cannot realize a reasonable return provided that lack of return is substantial as demonstrated by competent financial evidence. Now, what does that mean? That means within this book, and within the R2 zone, there are certain uses, what's called uses by right.
Mm-hmm.
These are the uses, these are the things you can put on that property, on that lot.
Right.
And one of them isn't obviously a community center. So that means you need to show, or an applicant needs to show, why they need to put what they want to put on there, because they cannot realize a financial return, satisfactory return on one of those uses by right, okay?
Right.
Am I making sense?
I think so. I think, yeah.
So you need to show, well, we can't keep this. Was this a two-family house, Chris?
No, it was a single-family house.
Okay, so, mm-hmm. but I think you could put a two-family, if I'm not mistaken, in the...
All right, there's a basement.
R2, mm-hmm. You can have a two-family. So you need to show, well, I can't have a substantial, reasonable return on having a two-family house there. I need to have a community center. Now, we mm-hmm. are flexible
mm-hmm.
to the extent that this gentleman in the back of me doesn't say too flexible.
Right.
And not legal. We can be flexible, and I'm sure you can be creative. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if we're putting the cart before the horse.
Right.
Maybe we need to have those discussions with the community, what you want and what's satisfactory to you. Then we can vote on something definitively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you have people at your disposal that could help you figure out the way to meet this use variance criteria right. of the reasonable return.
Right, yeah, which is an interesting question because we're not looking for a financial return at all. You know,
might be part of the rationale for
right.
the
Tony,
variance.
Yeah.
I was hoping you would say that, Dan.
There have been discussions with your attorney, and you and I will speak also. There is a provision in our code
right.
that we had discussed using to get us to where we need to be
mm-hmm.
that allows us to deviate from to a certain extent from the strict use variance requirements in the state law.
Right.
And the language is in the Victorian Code.
I know what
yeah.
you're talking about. It
yes.
gives the board flexibility.
Right.
Yes.
The language basically is the applicant may introduce and the board may consider evidence regarding the impact of the requested variance on the public interest, where, due to exceptional circumstances, the board considers this an appropriate project. So I have spoken, to your attorney about it, and
right.
That evidence will be, ultimately considered by the board and presented. Today, it's just a initial presentation
yep.
with regard to what you're looking to do, and I believe the board is going to be looking for more specifics with
exactly.
regard to the program,
yep.
and then
they
apply
can consider
that.
Yep.
those specifics in light of the statute.
Yep.
I knew he would come from behind me.
Yeah. And it all makes sense.
It's what
right.
you do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I am curious whether it would be permissible to do exterior work just to keep the house,
I don't think that would need planning board approval, would it? Exterior work?
I mean,
all of that will be discussed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different board that we have to review. The building department will tell you
right.
whether or not you need specific approvals based on what the work is.
Yep.
But just a general question, can
sure.
we do work? It's got to be more specific.
Yep, yep, got it. Thank you.
I mean, when Thanks. Somebody who owns a house does work, they don't necessarily go to the planning board. But again, we're talking degree. Again, we're talking, if someone who owns a house generally does repair, puts a porch on, they have to go to Mr. Knox and get a building permit. But again,
sure.
it,
exactly.
again,
yeah.
it
yep.
gets what is being considered and the extent and the degree. But what I'm hearing is you probably have some ideas in your head, but you want to hear from the community.
Absolutely.
Is
yeah.
what I'm
yeah. Yeah, and I my goal with the initial work would be just to get the house well maintained and stable
yeah.
and yeah, that kind of thing, exactly. And it makes sense to how that would work.
Board, do you have any questions?
A lot of it's John Bonavita. A lot of thought obviously went into this.
Mm-hmm.
Why specifically did you choose this neighborhood?
Good question.
Yeah, I would say that in general, most of our work is focused in Ward 4 or thereabouts. It's not specifically constrained to that, but the work we do at the foundation is always focused on people that have been historically marginalized and how can we shift the lived reality in those neighborhoods, in that neighborhood in particular. And it's a beautiful house. It's next to the Boys and Girls Club. There's a lot of promise to what could happen there as an initial experiment in this. Again, what we've learned from other cities, but it hasn't been tried here, and it's a ongoing process.
I know the foundation, but I know it through the former Gill Farm.
Yes, right.
If I'm not mistaken.
That's a way to know the foundation.
I drive by it every day. That's where my yep. son lives, in Stone Ridge, and grandchildren. So I know that whole aspect and the experimentation and,
mm-hmm.
And on the farm and what's being done there. Can you give, if you're able, give a couple examples of your work within the city of Kingston that currently are operating?
Sure.
Your foundation?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the other most visible ones is the radio station, Radio Kingston, which we support and, again, speaks to community voice being heard, connecting people that otherwise might not be connected. So the radio station is certainly the other most visible thing, I think. We support a number of social service agencies, so Family, Hodge Center. There's a fairly lengthy list of those support services that we resource. We'll be working with IFH to help their Pine Street Clinic as that gets developed.
Now, what is that?
The Institute for Family Health, which is in
part of the Pine Street Medical
yep, yep,
buildings.
Yep, exactly. So that's a...
Well, thank you for your for your involvement and support. Yes, John.
One other question. You said you've done things like this in other communities. Has this type of thing served as a nucleus to change the community?
It hasn't. We haven't done them ourselves, but we're fortunate enough to have relationships with other organizations that have done these things. So, for instance, in Detroit, the Bog Center is involved with community houses. That's really where we learned it first. And in Baltimore, we support an organization that has created a community house. So it's, and it does exactly that. It becomes a center. It can be after-school stuff for kids. It can be childcare. It can be a nurse. It can be, you know, there's a pretty long list of things that we don't want to determine, but that we know can help support the community. Yeah.
And it hasn't caused, quotes, gentrification. It's caused,
cohesion, actually. Cohesion, yeah, okay. Yeah. That, and I got to tell you, that is a huge awareness for us around the gentrification issue in general and how we don't want to contribute to that, but in fact, in a sense, stabilize or reverse it by creating a neighborhood that everybody feels they belong in.
So your philosophy is to create a neighborhood?
Absolutely.
Would that be fair to say?
Yep.
Mary, do you have anything?
No, John seemed to cover my question.
Thank you for your time. I had several questions, if it's okay.
Sure.
According to the application, you anticipate 2 employees who would take care of 10 customers. Is it your intention that there would only at any time be at most 12 persons on the premise of the property?
That's a great question that I don't have the answer to. I would say that we started from some baseline of a guess. Frankly, I'm hoping there are times when there are a few more than that. And it's not a big house, actually, either. So we wouldn't want to oversell what we can potentially do. So that was a good best guess. It's strange to read them as customers, but
they're just defined as customers on the list.
I realize that's not your
application.
Yeah.
But so yes. When you describe when you say guest, is it possible, you can answer yes or no to this question, that the guests may have be at the home for an extended period of time? Say more than the hours of operation, which are outlined as from 9 to 5?
Yeah, I would frankly hope that the hours of operation extend past that, but that no one would be there as any sort of overnight or extended stay type situation. But I do hope that we are able to satisfy evening needs as well.
I think the application clearly points to that somebody would be in charge.
Oh, most definitely.
At all times.
Yes. Yes.
That's an important point.
Absolutely.
Somebody in authority will be there in charge.
Mm-hmm. Then I was just curious, do you intend on putting an industrial kitchen into the house?
No, we're close. I don't know if it's officially industrial, but the Boys and Girls Club have a great kitchen. So, yeah, we will not be doing that. And in terms of people in charge as well, you know, we rely heavily on Dan and the folks at the Boys and Girls Club to guide us in what that means and who should be there.
And then I just had one more additional question. At any time, do you think alcohol would be served on premise?
No.
Thank you. Those are my questions.
Okay. Thank you, Owen. Any other questions from the board? Well, at this point, we're gradually putting some meat on the bone, and we're going to need some more. And
yep.
I'm sure you will hold some community gatherings and, you know, I want to thank you for your efforts on behalf of the city. Like you're establishing inroads and doing some fine work in supporting some of the organizations you stated, Family Woodstock, et cetera. I wasn't really familiar with some of the other work other than, like I said, Gill Farm.
Right.
But thank you for your efforts on behalf of the city. And I'm sure there will be a lot of discussion, and there'll be guidance, and ultimately something will be presented
we'll be
to
again.
Us
right.
Where we can look at it and question it and vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I encourage you to keep up the work.
Thank you very much.
I guess at this point I'll open it up from what the limited information we received this evening. I will open it up to any comments from the public that's in attendance. If you'd like to come up to the microphone to express anything one way or another. Just need your name and address, please.
Gotcha. Dan Whalen, I'm Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Club, 139 Greenkill Ave, next door.
Good evening.
Good evening. First, I want to thank the board for the due diligence through this process and ensuring that everything is done correctly and that it's in line with everything that we're doing in Midtown and providing for our community. I have, you know, to back up what has been said here, we've met and discussed the potential of what could happen next door. Ideally, at the Boys and Girls Club, when the property next door became vacant, it was obviously something that we would love the opportunity to be able to embark on, but was far out of our range financially. You know, it would put our organization at risk.
Is this yours?
So when we found out there was a sale on it, it was a little bit scary. And I have to say that through our conversation, it's become a huge relief to us to know that not only someone who has been an organization who has been influential in our community, but it's also aligned with the mission of the Boys and Girls Club. So knowing that not only do we think we have someone who can be the best neighbor possible, but will also be able to increase the services that we deliver on a daily basis. So wanted to put that out there through
Thank
our
you.
Meetings. It seems to be aligned with the mission of the club, and we're excited for it.
No, I'm glad you came and spoke. I just have one question for you. Do you know who Chuck Holochuk is?
Yes. Yes. And I see the name every day. And I talked to Joe.
50s and 60s. You're laughing. Did you? Were you a member of the Boys and Girls Club?
I was not, but I
you remember the name.
I do.
Okay.
And I spoke with Joe Fay this morning, so it's a pipeline.
Well, Chuck was the original.
Yep.
But thank you for your comments.
Thank you. I appreciate
and showing
it.
Up. Anything else? Okay, so I'm sure we'll see you again. We'll take a vote and my motion to recommend would be to put it on a future agenda, next meeting possibly, or you'll let them know.
Yes, I'm sure Mr. Moriello will have some discussions with Mr. Gartenstein.
I'm sure. And we just like to see the final product.
Yes,
that's always good.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we can vote on it. Okay, great. Thank you for
all right,
coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, board, we're ready to go here. I think the first one is an easy one. What's that? Well, I was just about ready to put a motion in effect. That's all right. That's okay. Anytime. Do I have a motion for the Greenkill Avenue LLC to table it for a future meeting?
I motion.
Second?
Second.
I motion, yeah.
Mary
Second.
And then John.
Second.
Table until future. We don't know if it'll be the next meeting, so I'll say future meeting. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 4-0. Table to a future meeting. Okay, 36 O'Neill Street. I guess I'll take the prerogative and put my two cents in. This is, and I think our speaker this evening put it very well, this is a long-established business, and it's a clean business. It serves a lot of people. It's established. It's grown, which is a good sign when a business in Kingston grows, a good business. And I think, you know, the two feet is a substantial decrease in the requirement of 50 feet, but like many sections of the current zoning law that hopefully will be revised eventually, it doesn't really match reality. And in fact, was in existence for many, many years. So even though it is significant, and one of the criteria for area variance is that it's not, a variance is not significant, I think for sake of this building standing there from since 1974 and even before that, I'm sure Swick and Schwartz was in the same location, close to the tracks. I don't think that should be a deterrent, but I would personally, I would recommend to approve all these three variances for an established business, respected business in the city of Kingston. Mm-hmm. I'm open. That's my opinion, and the rest of the board certainly can speak to what they want to speak to.
Tony?
Yes.
I agree. I would rather have them expand, give them the variance to expand than lose a company and 22 employees.
Exactly. John?
Completely agree.
Owen?
I agree. I have no disagreement with anything you said.
All right, so we're going to take them one at a time. Motion. Motion to approve the setback from 50 to 7. I'll just put approve number one, which is to approve the setback from 50 feet to 7 feet 8 inches. Motion. A second. Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Four is opposed. Number one, approved. Number two, approve the area variance to increase the lot coverage from 40 to 43%. Motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
Okay. I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Number three, approve the variance that has been in effect for many years. Approve the variance from 50 feet to 2 feet side lot setback. Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, I think that covers all three. Anything else?
I had one quick question.
Sure.
At our previous meeting,
yes.
the Kingstonian had asked for the announcement of a public hearing, but we postponed that because we were waiting for the seeker determination.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Kingstonian requested the asking for the public hearing, but it was brought up that we were going to have a public hearing, but I don't always believe everything I read in the papers, but I understand there's going to be a public hearing, or there was a public hearing for Common Council.
On the
15th.
15th?
Yeah. I mean, personally, okay. I just soon have the Common Council have their public hearing before we have a public hearing without really knowing any information on the variances. At the last meeting, I had asked that we needed to quantify some numbers on parking spaces and square footage of greenery, et cetera. And I'd rather get that kind of information and get it out there the evening of the public hearing. And I think I don't want to crowd out the Common Council and have a public hearing before Common Council. I think it's, is there going to be reviewing a zoning variance to have all the whole property the same. So unless I hear otherwise from Dan or the board, I just soon hold off. They're parties at a Kingstonian are going to be probably pretty busy for their public hearing with the Common Council on January 15th. And you're correct, Owen, this would be the time and place to do it, but we can establish a date via email from Dan or parties on a... Question is, the last meeting with the Kingstonian, we had talked about setting a date for a public hearing. The board decided not to set the date for a public hearing until we had more information, and the planning board made a seeker determination. The seeker determination has been made. It's negative declaration. So Owen was asking, when are we having our public hearing? The Common Council is having a public hearing on the zoning request January 15th. And my point is, I just soon wait until the Common Council has their public hearing and we get some numbers, quantified numbers on parking spaces, square footage of greenery, et cetera, and we could set the public hearing for that time. Yes. Well, that'll fill our plates without a public hearing. Yeah. Yeah, I just and the Common Council is having a public hearing in the next. There's still going to be a public hearing. You're going to hear opinions. You're not going to our public hearing is going to be in reference to the four variances that are requested, and I don't think we're in a position to do that. Other things, yeah. So I agree. That's what I had said, to hold off on it. Okay, Owen, that answered your question?
I am okay with holding off.
I'm sure it will happen, Owen. Okay, well, all we need is a motion to adjourn at... 7:00.
I motion to adjourn.
Second.
You didn't want to make any motions tonight, huh, Owen?
I think Mary Johnson said.
Mary, then John. All right, thank you for everybody's... we need to... Don't go anywhere. You need to sign the signature sheets for the variances so we can get the yogurt... We can keep the yogurt being made.